We're still going, I intended to be back in Jude tonight, but we're going to take one more week away from Jude and hopefully be back in Jude next week. Open up tonight, if you would, to the book of John, chapter number 16. John 16, verse number 7. John 16 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." We'll stop reading there in verse number 14. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the good fellowship we've had already before service. Thank you for the time of song and time of prayer. God, I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, as we've read the word of God, open it and try to break the bread of life. God, I pray that you would take the burden of my heart tonight that you give me, and God, that you would help your people to receive that. Lord, I pray that something would be said tonight that would get glory and honor to you, and that would be for the good of your people, that would help them in their Christian life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, this text that we've read to you tonight, I trust it's a familiar text to you. It's a very familiar text to me. Years ago as a young preacher boy, that was one of my assignments. I had to memorize this text, and I'm sure my wife thought of it when I read the text tonight, because I worried her to death riding down the road reciting this text to her, making her read along with me, making sure that I didn't miss a word. And so I remember that from many years ago, but it's great truth here. What we're going to look at, and there's a lot of other things really that could, that messages and thoughts that you could glean from this text, but we want to, the best that we can, stay with one thought primarily, and that is the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God. The ministry of the Holy Ghost of God. What the Holy Ghost does in this world and in the lives, especially in the lives of believers. You understand, I know that you do, that the Holy Ghost is as much God as God the Father or God the Son. I think sometimes people have the idea that that God the Father is number one God, big God, and then running a close second is Jesus, not quite as much God, but real close, and somewhere running a distant third back under the distance is God the Holy Ghost, and that he's somehow subpar in a generic form of the first two. And that's not so. They're co-equal. All three. It's a triune God that we serve. And so we are Trinitarian in our doctrine. We believe that God is one God. We don't worship multiple gods. We worship one God, Jehovah God. But he is one God expressed in three persons. And so the Holy Ghost of God, he is God, and it is he. So oftentimes we hear people use this term, and sometimes people say, "No, you're being nitpicky." No, it's not nitpicky. The Holy Ghost is not it. He is he. He is the third person, not the third thing of the Trinity. He's God the Holy Ghost. He is to be referred to as he, just as Christ or God the Father is to be referred to as he. He is the third person of the Trinity. Jesus speaking here in John chapter 16, and somebody has said of John's gospel, and I think it is well said, that John's gospel is kind of a picture in a way of the tabernacle. You have those early chapters where you have that outer court about chapter 1 through 13, and then about verse 13, 14, and 15, you come into that inner court. But then from about verse 16 and 17 on, really chapter 17 and on, you get into the Holy of Holies, where you have Christ and his high priestly prayer. But this place that we've come to in John chapter number 16, dealing with the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God in this world, Jesus, speaking there in verse 7, announces that there's a coming comforter. We're going to look at about four different things that the Holy Ghost of God does in his ministry in this world. And that's not exhaustive, but it's a good starting place. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." He says it's expedient. In other words, it's advantageous for you if I go away. Now that sounds counterproductive, that Christ, the Lord of glory, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, how could it possibly be good for us that he would go away, that he would leave us? Once he had come to this world, those that had eye to see and believed that he was the Messiah, even they were confused, and they thought he would establish some type of kingdom. He would defeat the Roman Empire, and that he would sit upon David's throne. The concept of him leaving them was as foreign as you could possibly imagine. But he's announcing his departure, and not only does he announce his departure, but he says it's better for you. It's better for you that I go away. And you might even have trouble understanding that tonight. How could it be better? Well, when Christ was in this world, and this is hard to wrap the mind around, we know that God is omnipresent, meaning he's in all places at all times. We know that. But yet God the Son, when he came and took on the form of humanity and was wrapped in a robe of flesh, born in Bethlehem's manger, he was only able to be in one place at a time. He could only be in Jerusalem when he was in Jerusalem, in Galilee when in Galilee. But God the Holy Ghost can be everywhere all the time. And that's just one brief point, how it was better for us that Christ go away. The Holy Ghost of God can be present with every believer in every moment of time throughout their lifetime. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." He said, if I stay, he's not coming. "But if I go away," he said, "but if I depart, I will send him unto you." He hasn't called him the Holy Ghost thus far in the text, but what he has called him is the Comforter. And if you'll notice, that word Comforter is spelled with a capital C. He's the Comforter. That's one of the names that he's given. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called many things throughout the Scripture. But in this text, he's called the Comforter, and he's called that more than one time. The word that's translated Comforter for us here, there's actually two words translated into the English word Comforter in different places in your Bible. One of them means different, but of the same type. The other means of the same type and exact. This means of the same type and exact. In other words, God the Holy Ghost, when he came upon Jesus' departure, what it means is nothing changed as far as deity was concerned in its relations to God's people. We've already established that he is as much God as God the Father or God the Son, but he's of the exact same nature. He's of the exact same type. There's no difference at all within the personhood, if you will, of God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. He is of the exact same. He is the Comforter. And he said this Comforter comes if he departs. He said he had sent him to us. And then in verse 8 he tells us what comes when he comes to us. And when he is come, him being the comforter, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is one of the first things we see in the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God. Christ is introducing us to the concept that he's going to depart, and upon his departure, he'll send us the Holy Ghost of God, the third person of the Trinity. And so it would follow that he would tell us what this third person of the Trinity would be doing in his ministry. And this world, and it's no different within supposed Christianity, they're confused about what the ministry and work of the Holy Ghost is anymore. So much so, it's to the point now where people are even ashamed or afraid to use the name Holy Ghost. I heard a preacher say when he was in seminary, Bible college, whatever it was that he went to, that one of the professors told him, said, whatever you do, don't use the word Holy Ghost of God. Said the reason for it was it'll scare the young people, scare the kids. And his response was unto God, sir, have you seen any of the video games they play these days? No need for them to be afraid. And but Baptist people are afraid to use that verbiage, the Holy Ghost, afraid of being identified as charismatic or Pentecostal or something along those lines. And I don't want to get off and chase rabbits, but I want to say this to you. Don't be afraid to call him by his name. He's the Holy Ghost of God, and that doesn't make you charismatic. It doesn't make you Pentecostal or any other unsound, not part of any other unsound doctrinal people group. It doesn't make you that. It just makes you a person who uses biblical names. He's the Holy Ghost of God, and he does have a ministry, and that ministry is, Christ has told us here, that when he comes, he'll do some reproving. That's his ministry. He reproves. That is a part of his ministry. He'll reprove the world, it said, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then he goes and takes the next three verses and explains those in greater context. Of sin, because they believe not on me. The Holy Ghost of God and his ministry of reproval, he reproves this world because they believe not on the name of the only begotten Son of God. They are under a constant state of reproval. They are under a constant state of being reproved by the Holy Ghost of God because they believe not on the name of his beloved Son. Verse 10, he reproves of righteousness. He said, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. In Jesus' presence, as man was in Jesus' presence, he was the consummate and the personification of righteousness. But when he's gone, then the Holy Ghost of God reproves. He reproves this world of righteousness in the absence of God the Son. And then he reproves of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And you better remember this, beloved. This whole world's going to be judged one day. I'm talking about the lost is going to be judged, and you and I are going to be judged. This whole world's going to be judged. Verse number 12. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He said, I got a lot of things to say. Now this is God the Son. He didn't struggle with things like your pastor struggles with. I struggle with maybe having a grasp of something mentally, but not knowing how to articulate it with a limited vocabulary. God the Son didn't struggle with that. God the Son had the vocabulary. He had the intellect. He had everything necessary to communicate truth. But what was absent? The Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God is what was absent. And it is the Holy Ghost of God that enables you and I and those hearers of Jesus' day. He is the one who opens the spiritual eye. He is the one who quickens and regenerates to life and causes us to be able to receive that truth that Jesus spake. He said, I got many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. He'll guide you in all truth. Here's another aspect. Here's another arm or branch, if you will, of the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God in the life of his people. This is not necessarily applicable to a lost world. This is his ministry in the lives of his people. Christ was speaking to his people, said, I got a lot of things to say to you. You can't bear them now. But when the Holy Ghost of God has come, the Spirit of, what's he the Spirit of? The Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. When he's come, he'll guide you in all truth. He'll guide you in all truth. That's one of the most sweetest and treasured verses in all the Word of God to me. Beloved, we can grab a hold of this Word in this verse and latch onto it as soundly and solidly as we do any other verse of Scripture. He guides his people in all truth. If you want to know what's right about any subject matter, about anything in this world as it relates to your spiritual life, the Holy Ghost of God will guide you in all truth. And he will not guide you wrong. I would never guide you wrong intentionally, but did you know there's a possibility that I could honestly and sincerely think that I have a grasp of something and know the truth of it and yet be wrong and guide you in that same way if you completely entrusted yourself to me and to my care? But God the Holy Ghost can't do that. He knows all things. God the Holy Ghost knows everything that God knows. He knows everything God knows, and he's just as holy as God is holy. And that's why he guides his people, and he guides them in all truth. He guides them in all truth. Amen. And, man, we could get off and really say a lot of things about that. But listen, you've heard me say before, and I'm going to say it again. Now, I'm not going to get off chin deep, and I'm going to say something about it and move on. Oftentimes, Bible believers are troubled. They lose sleep almost over the fact that there's so many false teachers, so much false doctrine, so many fake churches. Don't be discouraged, child of God. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. God give us that. It is a gift of God. It's a blessing of God. The Benny Hinns and the Joel Osteens of this world, the Kenneth Copelands, the Joyce Meyers, and on down the line to those people even on a local level who preach and teach those same doctrines, God give them as a gift to the church. And God let them build their buildings with steeples on them and have a voice for people to hear. And he drew out the dross is exactly what he done. He drew out that was impure. He drew out wheat from the tares, and he filled those places with them. And we thank God for that. We bless the name of God for that. And I know that that sounds counterproductive. It sounds foreign to anything you've ever heard, and it almost sounds unkind. But listen, that's how God works. God used that to draw the mixed multitude away from his people. You say, how did we not get pulled into it? There's your verse. We just read it. He'll guide you in all truth. He'll guide you in all truth. Listen, beloved, you don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have a doctorate degree. I'm not trying to promote ignorance. You ought to learn all that you can. You ought to study all that you can. But at the end of the day, if a person is saved by the good grace of God, they can have nothing but a King James Bible and a heart for God, and the Holy Ghost of God will do just what he promised he'd do in this book, and he'll guide them in all truth. He'll guide them in all truth. I remember what it's like to be freshly saved and dumb as a box of rocks, biblically, knew absolutely nothing. And it's amazing, nobody wanted to talk about God till I got saved, and then every fruit loop in the world wanted to talk to me about the things of God. And they'd come to me talking to me about losing salvation, and they'd come to me and talk to me about speaking in tongues and healings and all this stuff. I didn't know. I had no theology. All I knew is God had saved me. But there was something deep down on the inside that said, this is not right. Now, what do you reckon that was? That's the Holy Ghost of God guiding me in all truth. I didn't know where to turn to it in the Bible and tell you it wasn't right, but I knew something deep down on the inside said, this is not right. All of my life, what little affiliation with religion we had at all was Methodism, was with the Methodist church. And even though I didn't go to church, if you had talked bad about Methodist people, I'd have fought you over it. And when God saved me, God saved me in a Baptist church. It was a Baptist preacher preaching. But listen, there were some things that God showed me instantly that was wrong with what Methodist folk believe. I knew that sprinkling wasn't right. And I couldn't have showed you a verse in the Bible. I didn't know about it, Philip going down in the water. I didn't know about John going to Jordan because there was much water there. But the Holy Ghost of God put that in the book. He wrote that in the book. And He lived in my heart. And He knew that that wasn't right. And He taught me that that wasn't right. And so I felt like that it was turning my back on my grandfather and grandmother and all of my family's faith. But I knew that the Holy Ghost of God was living inside of me, guiding me in all truth. And we had to go with what was right. He guides us in all truth. And if you're saved by God's grace, I tell you what you'll love. You'll love the truth. You'll love the truth above all things. And He guides us in all truth, does He not? And it's just one experience like that after the other. You've heard me tell this before. If you were awake, you might have been sleeping, so I'll tell it again. I didn't know all of the rights and wrongs and all of that. But I shall never forget that next morning, Brother Boozer, going to the closet. And I didn't own a t-shirt that didn't come from a casino. To this day, I've never set foot in a casino, but I had family that went. And they'd go spend $1,000 and they'd give them a t-shirt, and it's such a deal, they kept going back. And they'd give me the t-shirts because they had plenty of money, I guess. And I spent all my money on other sinful things, and so that's all I had to wear. And I'll never forget it. It's as real to me today as the flesh on my bones. I remember being in that little apartment 5 at 273 Lakeview Cove, getting up out of my bed for the first time in my life that morning with the Holy Ghost of God residing in my heart. And I opened that closet door, and I pulled out a shirt, and there it said Sam's Town. And then I pulled out another one, and it said some other casino name, and the Holy Ghost of God said, "No, sir, buddy. You know, you can't wear this." And amazing to me, folks been saved 20 years, still don't know how to dress. God said, "You can't wear this." I said, "Well, I ain't got nothing else." And He made it clear you couldn't go naked. So we just turned them wrong side out, wore them wrong side out till we could buy some more clothes. And everybody in the world observed and told me that I had my shirts turned wrong side out. It was a great witnessing opportunity. Every one of them, I told them, "Man, God saved my soul Monday night. And all I had was these gambling casino t-shirts. And I can't wear them." I couldn't have turned to the Bible and give you one verse of Scripture that condemned gambling. But somebody was living in me who wrote the book and knew, and He was guiding me in all truth. Ain't you thankful tonight that the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you? And He is God as much as God is God. And He knows everything that God knows. And He's the one that breathed into man's ear the Word of God. And He can breathe it into your ear before you've ever even read it. I say, hallelujah. As Brother Hanley Milby used to say, whoop, whoop, hallelujah. Bless God. I tell you, that's wonderful, ain't it? And He still does that for us. Because listen, Brother Raymond, I still don't know everything in this book. And He's still guiding me in truth tonight. He's still guiding us tonight. He said, "He'll guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself." What do good for some of that charismatic crowd to read that? You watch some of their services and all they talk about is the Spirit. That's all they focus on is the Spirit. Getting the Spirit, catching the Spirit. Holy Spirit, fall on us. He's not accident prone. He ain't going to fall on anybody. Listen, He won't speak of Himself. If you want to test something, if you want to know if it's of God when somebody is speaking about the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Ghost of God's always got a pointed finger and He's pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus. That's exactly what the text said. He will guide you into all truth. That's His ministry. He guides His people, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Bless His sweet name for that. Finally, He's got a ministry of glorification. "He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." That's what I just touched upon the hem of the garment of. He has a glorification ministry. These outfits that have religious services and they put on some emotional show, and they call that a move of the Spirit of God, and it all stops there. It ends with a supposed move of the Spirit of God. That's no such thing, beloved. The Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, He's not done with His work in any person's life, nor in any church service, or in any other regards, until He has magnified Christ, till He has glorified Christ. That is what He does. That is His ministry. That's what we beg Him to do in a church service here. Holy Ghost of God, move on the service. I tell you, you don't know how many times I'll sit on the platform and as we sing, pray and tell God, Lord, I know that I've got absolutely nothing to offer in this service. I may have studied, I may have prayed, I may have an outline, I may have dotted some I's and crossed some T's, humanly speaking, but Holy Ghost of God, if you don't move in this service and point me into Jesus, nothing will come from this. Nothing will come from this. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God. That's what He does. I believe Jesus knew what He was talking about when He said it was expedient for you that He go away. Because if He didn't go away, the Comforter would not come. I'm thankful for a Comforter tonight. I'm thankful for a constantly abiding Holy Ghost of God. I'm thankful for His guiding ministry in my life. I'm thankful for His glorifying ministry, how He glorifies Christ in my life and makes it observable for me. I'm thankful for His corrective ministry in my life. Aren't you thankful that He don't just let you loose? Brother Ernest and myself was having a conversation on the phone this morning. We was talking about how that sometimes, if you're not careful, I think the way he worded it, I think it was well worded. He said, if you're not careful, you'll get the devil in you trying to get the devil out of somebody else. You know what he's talking to? Get so frustrated with somebody that you love, all fight and sin, you'll get the devil in you, trying to get the devil out of them. But you know who takes over when that happens? The Holy Ghost of God. He'll get your attention then, won't he? He'll reprove you. He'll rebuke you. He'll correct you. Oh, thank God for the precious Holy Ghost of God. Brother Boozer, I'm glad he didn't just save us and leave us here to tread water the best way we can till he comes back. He left us. He told us in John 14 that he's going to prepare a place for us. And if he goes and prepares a place for us, he'll come again, receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. But he didn't just leave us alone while he's gone. He left us with a comforter, a constantly abiding comforter. And Jesus is coming back. Now, I don't know when. I heard some bird the other day saying that he is coming back this year. Listen. He don't know if he might come back this year, but he won't do it because that bird said so. He won't do it because of that. But I can tell you who we'll have to enjoy. If Jesus comes back this year, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, or a millennia from now, we'll have the precious Holy Ghost of God to enjoy till he comes back. And some of us, if he tarries another 10 years or 40 years or 50 years, we won't be here living on this earth when he comes back. But I tell you what we'll have as we lay on a deathbed and face the chilling hand of death and prepare to cross Chile Jordan, we'll have a constantly abiding comforter. We'll have a Holy Ghost of God that'll hold our hand all the way across Jordan. We bless his sweet name for that. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost of God and his ministry in our life. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for the precious Holy Ghost of God. Thank you for who he is. Thank you for his ministry in our lives. Oh God, thank you for all that you've blessed us with the person of the Holy Ghost of God, that precious comforter who come unto us the very moment that we were saved. God, I'm glad that it's not like some folk teach, that we have to sit around and waller and beg and look for a second work of grace to receive the Holy Ghost. Lord, we receive the Holy Ghost as soon as we receive Jesus, and he constantly abides in our heart forever. Oh God, we bless your name for that tonight, Lord. We bless your name for it, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.